The sea was calling her. May stole out of the lighthouse and began walking toward the cliffs. They were not high cliffs, but she knew that beneath them the water was deep. She dropped her shawl, removed the calico jacket, stepped out of her skirt, and stood in her blouse and muslin petticoat. She took off her shoes and stockings. There was a chill in the air, but she didn't seem to feel the cold at all. As she stood with her toes curled over the very edge of the cliff, she looked down into the swirling waters below. She was suspended between two oceans, the invisible one of the air and the visible one of the water. She took a deep breath, her last for now from that invisible world, and touched the locket at her throat. If she had had any doubts or fears, they vanished at that instant. A world awaited her, and she belonged to it. She dove, and for a second or maybe two, she was suspended. There seemed to be no impact. She sliced through the water neatly, cradled by the swirling currents. Streams of bubbles flowed about her, and she spread out her hands toward them. "I am catching stars." She laughed and was startled to see that two large bubbles streamed from her mouth, yet she seemed to be breathing fine. She was not aware of swallowing any water at all. She drew her arms back toward her body and was surprised how strongly she thrust forward in the water. "I can swim. I can swim. I am swimming." The ocean, eddying through her mind, was no longer a dream. It was real. She had crossed a border from one world into another. The colorful underwater tapestry was even more brilliant than she had imagined. The seaweed, which at low tide lay on the rocks in ugly, tangled lumps that some called witch's hair, streamed like banners of amber lightning through the deep water. Moonlight and starshine fell into the depths, trimming the liquid night with a filigree of trembling lace. Her bursts of speed amazed her. She soon was aware that all this was not coming from her arms, but her legs. She gave a powerful kick and found herself racing to the surface, breaking through it and into a high arcing leap. The moon and the stars that had quivered in the sea now seemed rock solid and anchored to the sky. Good Lord, am I flying to heaven? A slight tingling radiated just beneath her skin, and she was struck by the sense that her legs were no longer legs, but had become a tail, glistening and beautiful. When she plunged back into the water, she rolled onto her back and lifted her tail above the water's surface, looking at it with amazement. "White light," she thought. "I am like white light with hidden colors, a rainbow come to life in the sea." She touched the locket around her neck. The iridescent sparkles that gilded her tail were identical to the flattened crystal ovals she had picked from the frayed blanket. She had lost her legs, and yet she had become whole. A moment later, the two dolphins she had seen with Rudd swam up to her. They greeted her in a watery language that had no words, but that May understood immediately. It was as if she had discovered a different order of thinking, a new kind of cognition. She had heard more clearly, felt every feathery current of the sea, and now seemed to be able to communicate without words. She swam far out with the dolphins and beyond the bones to the rocks that were marked on the charts as Simon's Ledge. They were several miles offshore, but May and the dolphins had reached their destination in a short time, and when they arrived, she knew almost instantly why the dolphins had brought her to these ledges. This was where she had left the sea, from the time she was an infant. This was where Edgar Plum had found her, in the sea chest.